ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एस् आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we completed the almost 14th section, and then after all the fires have taught Upakosala, finally they told, informed him, there is a path by which you will reach the supreme reality called Brahman, and that your own teacher will instruct you how you can reach. Our purpose is to make you ready, to make you prepared, and we have succeeded in it. After hearing this, then very soon the teacher had returned, and then he exclaimed, "My son, my dear one, disciple, your face shines like a Noira Brahman. There is no doubt about it. Shines like, he doesn't mean whether you actually attained or not, but as if the person had already reached Brahman knowledge. But we have to understand, just like in the Katha Upanishad, Yamadharmaraja predicts, you have already reached the house of Brahman, home of Brahman, O Nachiketa. That means anyone with these qualifications, without any doubt, is soon going to reach. So what the fires have taught you is very well done, and they have actually prepared you. I am very glad about it. Of course, as we discussed, the teacher already knew that the fires are the Guru himself. But we should not mistake, Guru is not an individual. Brahman in the form of Guru. Whenever we say Guru is Brahma, we have to reverse the situation. Brahma is the Guru. Vishnu is the Guru. Maheshwara is the Guru. Not the other way around. Why? Because it is only the divine that's manifesting, either as spiritual knowledge or as secular knowledge too. It is the Brahman alone who is manifesting as good as well as evil. Brahman alone is the saint, Brahman alone is the sinner. But when knowledge dawns, the distinction between saint and sinner, good and evil, punyam and papam, everything will disappear, including bondage and liberation. In fact, it happens every day. Whenever our mind stops functioning, we are in a peculiar state. It is, you can call it, a state of Brahman only, Turiyavastha only, but temporarily, that's all. But as it has a hidden causality and therefore it forcibly drags us to this world of duality after some time. So we are bound by time, space and causation. And that state of the mind which is bound by time, space and causation is what we call in general bondage. So all the three states. Why three states? Because three bodies are there. The gross, subtle and causal. Even the deep sleep is a state only. Why? Because it is bound by time. It comes to an end. But it gives us a good glimpse into what our true nature is. How do we know? By the results. And what is the result? Indescribable, unbroken happiness. And there is something very interesting here. It is only bound, broken, only upon waking up. But so long as we are in that deep sleep state, time itself was transcended. There is no bondage any longer there. So now the teacher is trying to say, and I also explained to you what Swami Vivekananda's commentary on this very Upakosala story. The voice didn't say to Upakosala that the fire which he was worshipping or the sun or the moon or the lightning or anything else mentioned there, remember 12 items were mentioned, was all wrong. But it showed him that the same spirit which was inside the sun and the moon and lightning and the fire and the earth was in him. So that everything became transformed as it were in the eyes of Upakosala. This is a very important point. Anyone who attains to the same state as Upakosala, his whole vision becomes transformed, divine, because he started seeing Brahman in these special manifestations. That is why if we still remember the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is especially named as Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means manifestation, higher manifestation of the Divine Lord. Everything is the manifestation of Divine Lord, but even an ant, an amoeba, even a rock, even a clod of earth is nothing but manifestation of God. Because anything that exists, existence itself is the manifestation of Brahman, bound, limited by time, space and object. Esha kala vastu paricheda. But it is nothing but Brahman. The beholder is only beholding, not that there is an object there. That is something to be taken notice of. When I see a tree, is there really a tree? Or am I looking at Brahman and thinking it is a tree? That is, the truth is, if I am a Brahmagnani, the same tree will not be a tree. It will be pure Brahman only. So it is the fault, a limitation on the part of the individual only. Swamiji continues, the fire which was merely material fire before, in which to make oblations, assumed a new aspect and became God. The earth became transformed, life became transformed, the sun, the moon, the stars, the lightning, everything became transformed and deified. Their real nature, which is called Brahman, was known. So, the teacher, after hearing the answer from his disciple, beloved disciple, because he addresses him as Soumya. Soumya means extremely lovable, devoted, loved child. And he said, they only took you, made you fit, and they showed you glimpses of Brahman in the form of these 12 objects. But aham tu te tat brahma vakshyami. But now I will reveal to you that purna brahma, full knowledge of Brahman. And then he says, what would be the result? Suppose a person has knowledge of Brahman. What does he become? Brahma vit brahma eva bhavati. And what would be the result? Yatha pushkara palasha apo naslishyante. Imagine a lake is there. There are hundreds or thousands of lotus leaf plants are there. And every plant has leaves. And most of the leaves may be submerged in the water. But the waters apaha naslishyanti. They do not affect because there is a coating on the leaf, on all sides of the leaf, and the water cannot penetrate. Even if you put some what is called oil and then some slippery something like gum, if you are handling that one, it will not affect you because the oil will never allow it stands between you and that adhesive. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to say, you rub a little oil on your fingers before trying to cut down the cucumber. Because at the end of the cucumber, there is a glutinous substance is there. And once it touches your hand, you won't be able to work efficiently, effectively. So, you can protect yourself from that. Evam, evam. And one who knows this, vidhi. One who knows this, that means who knows I am Brahman. Papam karma naslishyate iti. Evil will not affect because he cannot do evil. Because he is not the doer. He is not the enjoyer. Only those who are bound, they have three manifestations of shakti, energy. Ichha shakti, kriya shakti and bhoga shakti. Or it is also told, Ichha, Jnana Shakti, Ichha Shakti and Kriya Shakti. Fourth is to be added, Bhoga Shakti. Ichha Shakti means the desire, the capacity to desire. That would be the root cause of any action. Then that produces Kriya Shakti. That is translated. Every desire is translated either consciously or unconsciously. When some itching is taking place when you are deeply asleep, you don't consciously scratch that part of the body. If something bites, automatically a mechanical action takes place. But there is a desire. Something is irritating me. I must get rid of it. Then you will have to know first, something is irritating me. That is called Jnana Shakti. Then the desire comes. I must get rid of it. Ichha Shakti. Then your hand mechanically goes there and tries to rub or remove anything that is causing. That is called Kriya Shakti. But we have to add a fourth one. That is called Bhoga Shakti. Then we enjoy the result. I am at peace. The scratching has produced ananda by removing that particular desire. And that is the process. With regard to every type of activity, there would be no activity. Once somebody asked Holy Mother, how come that people are so much caught in this net of Mahamaya? And Mother says, in such a simple language, it is all because they have lots of desire. And so long as there are desires, the body will last. And as soon as all desires disappear, immediately the body will fall because the purpose of the body is only to become what is called aptakamaha, to attain every type of desirable object. And once it is done, the person knows that there is nothing more for me to attain because I am everything. Aham sarvam. Aham brahma means aham sarvam. Brahma means brihat. Brihat means that which includes everything. So, the very root, the unfulfilled desire will not be there. That is one way of looking at it. Another way is, a person who knows Brahman, he becomes Ananda Swarupa. And when we become Ananda Swarupa, we will have no desires. The simplest way to understand this statement, suppose you are hungry, and then you get very tasty food and you eat that food. And as soon as you eat that food, instantaneously there is a state of desirelessness. And that is called ananda. And so long as that desirelessness continues, it may be half a millisecond, 10 milliseconds, it doesn't matter. No other desire will ever arise in that mind. You notice it. We hardly notice it because we do not think about it. we have to hear from somebody. At least after hearing, you go on thinking. So long as a person is happy, he is actually one with Brahman. Because every happiness is nothing but Brahman. And happiness means all limitations are removed. Removal of limitations by time, space and object is called ananda. And what is that which is beyond time, space and object? That is called Brahman. So, albeit unconsciously, we identify with our own true nature. And as a result, we don't experience any other desire. But then what happens? Our body, mind, our old samskaras pull us back from Brahman and make us fall into Brahma. From Brahma to Brahma. Until we practice spiritual disciplines and learn the art of not slipping down from Brahma into Brahma. So, karma naslishyate. No action can ever, in infinity of time, can ever contaminate this person. This was the instruction by the teacher, Satya Kama Jabala. Then Upakosala, he understood it, because he has become capable of understanding by now. Pravitume Bhagavaniti. So, I am ready, I am all ears now, all attention. Please tell me about that Brahma, which you have promised. Te tat Brahma Vakshyami. Te tat Brahma Pravitume Bhagavan. Bhagavan is a beautiful word. We address God himself as Bhagavan. So therefore, he said, you are none other than Brahman. That means, accepting God, nobody can give the knowledge of God. Tasmai hovacha. Tasmai ha hovacha. And to such disciple who is endowed with Shraddha and who is also ready because he did a lot of upasanas. And then the teacher started. Then with this, the fourth section is over. Now we are entering the fourth chapter, 15th section of Chandogya Upanishad. And this particular section is called Netrasthita Purusha Upasana. So the Acharya is giving the Upadesha. Beautiful word, this word, Upadesha. Upadesha means what? Desha means direction. Upadesha means you move in this direction. That is your real destination. Don't go in the other, any other direction. Only go in this direction. That's why a guru, a teacher, is also termed as Deshika. Tam Deshikendram Satatam Namami. I salute that Paramadeshika, the person who can show the right direction. Ramakrishna also used that word. Somebody will show you if a person is sincere and wants to reach Puri Jagannath, but because of ignorance is traveling in the wrong direction, God himself will appear to him in the form of a GPS. And says, where are you going? Oh, I am going to Puri. But this is not the way, that is the way. So, Bhagavan only comes as father, as mother, as teacher, as friend, as protector, as everything. Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva, tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. So, here, Netrasthita Purusha Upasana. There is that being, that pure consciousness, that Purusha. We have seen in Purusha Sukta. Purusha is not a male human being, much less a human being. Purusha means Puri Saiti. He, because of whom the body mind become enlivened, body mind become aware, body mind feel, I am something. Even that feeling I am, is because of the effect, nearness, closeness of that Purusha. Purusha means Puri Saite, he who pervades the whole universe. Sahasra Sirsha Purusha, Sahasra Sahasrapat, and he is the only one. What about the rest of it? Otherwise we may get the idea, the body is there, the mind is there, and there is something within it. You see a utensil, You see a glass, in that there is water is there or milk is there. So the milk is separate and the glass is separate. No, the milk and the glass both are made up of same thing. Once I had an experience while traveling in an aeroplane, they gave me a cup of chocolate, very nice soft chocolate inside, and they gave me a spoon also. And then, oh, they are very thoughtful people. They have given me a beautiful cup, and it looked exactly like a cup. And then, by mistake, I broke that spoon. And it is nothing but, it is also made up of chocolate only. Then I realized, even the cup also is made up of chocolate only. So, if children look at it, this is a cup, this is a spoon, they are different from the chocolate, because it is inside this cup. No, the antaha bahihi, inside, outside, sacharacharam, whether it is living, non-living, everything is nothing but that purusha only. And that purusha is especially mentioned in some parts of the Upanishads. We have seen in Kena Upanishad, shrotrasya shrotram, manaso manasaha manaha. So, he is the real seer, the real hearer, the real thinker. So, the mind is capable of thinking because of him. The eye is capable of seeing because of him. And the ear is capable of hearing because of him. What is that? Consciousness. Without consciousness, there is no difference between a person and a dead person. So, we also have to remember, I will come to that very soon. So, the term Akshipurusha translates to the person seen in the eye. This does not refer to the physical reflection we see in someone's eyeball, but to a deeper spiritual presence. What is the spiritual significance? Akshipurusha is identified with the Atman, inner self or soul. He is the force that animates the eye and enables vision, representing the seer, drashta, rather than the seen, drishya, inner vision. Through practices such as brahmacharya celibacy, one purifies the mind and develops an inner vision, allowing the true self or Akshipurusha to be perceived. What is the connection with Brahman? Akshipurusha is essentially Brahman, the ultimate reality or cosmic spirit in Hindu philosophy. Meditating on Akshipurusha means contemplating the seer or the eye that perceives everything, true eye. So what is the practical aspects of this upasana? Practitioners meditate on the concept of the inner seer, the presence of that pure consciousness that allows every activity of the sense organ, including the mind, and that is called consciousness. So this particular meditation prescribed here by this Satyakama Tupakosala focuses on realizing the deeper self beyond physical appearances. What is the way for such a self-realization? This Vidya emphasizes the importance of seeing beyond the physical world to understand and connect with the inner self, which is part of the ultimate reality called Brahman. With this background, let us proceed to the mantra itself. What is the essence of this background? So, the physical eye that we are able to see in each other is called Golaka, a window. Behind that, there is a nervous root, nerves are very subtle things. You cannot cut a body and see them. So through that nerve current, a type of energy or the what the eye perceives, that is sent. Without that nerve, that knowledge will not flow like your telephone wire. And then that is conveyed, connected with the mind. And it is the mind which cognizes not only this particular nerve current, but all the 10 organs. The eye has gone further towards the east, so the mind knows, I am moving towards the east or south, whatever it is. The hand is grabbing, and the mind knows, the hand doesn't know what it is grabbing, but the hand sends This is what this instrument called hand is holding. So like that, every sense organ, 5 sense organs of action, 5 sense organs of knowledge, all of them send this information, and the mind has the ability to unify, harmonize all of them and make a complete picture of it. And that picture is what is called in this example, this is a tree. I am moving towards this tree and it is of green color and it is of such and such a form and it is having a particular smell. It is a rough for the touch and it smells fragrant, beautiful fragrance is there. So like that, every sense organ sends its own information. And as I mentioned earlier, each sense organ is authorized only to obtain one particular piece of knowledge. The eye cannot hear nor smell. Similarly, the ear cannot see. Every sense organ knowledge is extremely limited. Only the mind, it collates, it makes a whole picture. And then it understands this is called a tree, this is a human being, etc., etc. So, but the mind also cannot function because it is also jadavastu. It is borrowing from buddhi and buddhi is borrowing from the chit. So that chidabhasa illumines that instrument called the whole mind and that is called inner instrument antahkarana. And it has got, as I said, 4 faculties. All the 4 faculties are divided again into 2 parts. Aham is one singular faculty and chitta, manaha, chitta and buddhi. So, I am thinking, what is this, what is this? That I has to join with the mind. Aham has to join that particular faculty called mind. Aham has to join that particular faculty called remembrance, smriti, memory, and cognize. Oh, I have seen it before. If it is first time, it is called cognition. If it is second time onwards, it is called recognition. And the buddhi will confirm. Yes, that is the confirmatory power is needed. That is how there is what is called complete picture of an object. But even this antahkarana, without that consciousness, is nothing. It is as good as dead. So, chidabhasa, then antahkarana, then all these sense organs, and the outside world, and the whole composite picture. That completes our concept of what we call srishti. And we act and react. First time if we do something, undo something, that's called action. Thereafterwards, whatever we do, it is called reaction. So, let us keep this in mind. Now, the teacher, Satyakama Jabala, he started in this 15th section. Ya esho akshani purusho drushyate esha atma iti ha uvacha etat amrutam. And we have to add etat with every word. It is not given in the mula. So, etat avayam, etat brahma, iti tat. So, this is he said that whatever the purusha, that is, you see in the eye, and that is Brahman. And as we said, it is not what we see the reflection, but it is the pure consciousness in the form of chidabhasa at the moment. But when we transcend, these 3 bodies are panchakoshas. Then that abhasa will disappear. Pure chit, sat, chit, ananda will manifest. And then how do we know? Because tad yadyapi asmin sarpirva udakam vasinchati vatmani eva gacchati. The eye has a very peculiar formation. So if you pour water, it doesn't go inside. You pour water on a piece of cloth, it is absorbed. On a sponge, it is absorbed. Many things absorb, but the eye is just like the leaf of a lotus. It doesn't absorb. or it may be sarpihi. Sarpi means ghee, that is clarified butter. So you pour clarified butter. You know, in Ayurvedic treatment, this is called purifying the site. What they do? Pure ghee or clarified butter, very famous in India. Rich people use it for preparing sweetmeats, etc. By the way, sweet meat is not meat made sweet. Sweet meat means sweets. So these sweets are made out of pure ghee. It has a wonderful flavor for those who are accustomed, and then it is a delicacy. For normal people, because this is very costly, for normal people, it is something made with oil, and for abnormal people, that means people who are not even capable of buying things, even at normal people can buy, for them, that oil is used again and again and again and again and again. So with each preparation, it becomes worse and worse and worse. So the quality difference will be there. Anyway, here the teacher gives this example. If you pour a little bit of the ghee, and that is what I said, the Ayurvedic physicians, every day they will put ghee, and it doesn't irritate. People have got that ghee, and it doesn't, they say, it has many medicinal effects. I don't know, I have not undergone, but somebody who has undergone had told me about it. It's very good. It cleanses the eyes. So, if somebody pours either ghee or water on the eyelid, what happens? It just flows through the edges, either left side, right side, or usually, you know, like when we are shedding tears, then it could be going from the left corner or right corner. So like that, these things just flow out, they do not affect. So similarly, a person who has attained this, then he will not be affected by anything that happens in this world. And why is he not affected? We will talk about it very soon. So this is the English translation. The guru said, Acharya said, the person that is seen in the eye, that is the self. This is the immortal, the fearless. This is Brahman. That's why if one drops melted butter or water in the eye, it flows away on both sides. Vartmani means to the edges. Gachati means flows out. He is the seer behind the power of sight. This example of the person in the eye comes in Brihadaranyaka, not only in Chandogya, and similar statements we have seen in the Kena Upanishad, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Chakshusha Chakshuho. So like that, he is that which is behind, that pure consciousness, without which the neither the mind works, nor the sense organs work. So how it works is, because the mind has the capacity to reflect that pure consciousness, and the first thing that comes out to life, that is called the chidabhasa, reflection of the chit. The mind acts as it were like a mirror, just as a mirror reflects whatever object is standing. Does a mirror really reflect whatever object is there in the front? The mirror may be covered with dust. It will not do that. Or there may be no light, then also it is not possible. Certain conditions are to be fulfilled. So, if a person, mind is covered with tamoguna, he would not be able to understand higher things. If it is covered with more of rajoguna, his mind will be extremely restless. Occasionally he gets a glimpse, but he also will not be able to have complete picture. But the more sattvic a person becomes, the clearer the picture becomes, and he is able to perceive. That's why, as Ramakrishna says, when a person practices spiritual disciplines, then he develops this sattva guna. He sheds, as it were, tamas and rajas, not 100%. One cannot shed 100% of any guna, but it is made to be the minimum. Tamas will be the minimum. Rajas also will be the minimum. Why? Because there are no three gunas, really speaking. One guna manifesting in a purest form is called sattva. The same guna manifesting with some dust, etc., is rajoguna. And the same guna, when it is completely covered, most of it is almost 99% covered, it is called tamoguna. So it is not three gunas, it is one guna. That's why I give the example of a dimmer switch. So the same light, same electricity, you can make it brighter, brightest, or dimmest. It all depends upon the switch. Our mind is like that switch. And what is that light? That is called chit. But as reflected in the mind, it is called chit abhasa. Abhasa means reflection. So this is how we progress from more covering to less covering until we remove almost all the covering and we perceive it. Then we go beyond all these coverings, beyond the guna. And that is when a person is entitled to be called as gunatitaha savuchyate. Such a person is called gunatita, he is called brahmagnani, noira, brahman, etc., etc. Now, this akshipurusha, remember, in this very chandogya, in the 8th chapter, Prajapati wanted to instruct both Indra and Virochana. The very first example he gave is akshipurusha. That Purusha, who is seen as reflected in the eyeball, he is the Atma. So they looked into each other's eyeballs and then they found out that this is the Atman. And to make sure, doubly sure, the teacher told them, bring a big pan of water and look at yourself, first without dressing up, but second time completely dressed up. What do you see? We see exactly ourselves. That is the Atma. Virochana was completely mesmerized. He became very proud. I am a Brahmagnani, Atmagnani. And he went away never to return and preached, this body is Brahman. Body is God. Worship it. Adorn it. Say that the best can be offered to it in the form of enjoyment. But that was the first stage. But what does it show? It shows, as we have discussed here, you must worship Brahman in your body because this is called Brahmapuri. That's what the teacher really meant. Then the mind becomes purified. Then we also become moral because once we come to know what we are, we have the same understanding about other people also. If I am a utensil in which God is manifesting, it must be the same truth with regard to everybody else. Whether it is a dog, that is why some advanced spiritual people, especially some Christian saints, when they see a dog, a hungry dog, so a devotee had given entire food prepared exclusively hoping that Jesus Christ will come because he saw Jesus Christ in the form. And Jesus Christ also confirms, I came to you in the form of a hungry child, hungry woman, hungry widow, and a dog. And you gave me. I accepted what you gave me. And I am pleased with you. And I will grant you, my pleasure means you will go to heavens. Beautiful. Coming back to the story, then Indra came back and then this time, he gave me. When you go to bed and have dream state, and whatever you see in that dream state, that is Brahman. What is the difference? If we analyze properly, that the experiences we have in the waking state and the experiences we have in the dream state, enormous difference you will see. What is the difference? In the physical world, if you want to go, let us say to Varanasi, from Calcutta, it takes long time and it entails lot of hardship. But if you are same thing, dreaming, nothing else is there. Just you think and you are in Varanasi. You think you are in the temple of Lord Vishwanath. You think there is nobody and you are wondering yourself that how come I am the only person here? Nobody else is there. I can be with the Lord as long as I want because You have done a lot of punyam even to be able to dream like that. But it also has a limitation. But if you go into the deep sleep state, then for unbroken several hours, of course counted from the waking state, but in deep sleep state, as if for eternity, you go beyond time, space and causation in the state of deep sleep, so you experience Advaita Anubhava. And that is why the Upanishads take these marvelous things, which no modern scientist would ever analyze in this particular form. So Indra was satisfied, he had gone. On the way again, he, what is called, did manana. And then he came back and said, but you see, that doesn't solve my problem. Oh, if I am blind in the physical body, then I will dream also, I am blind in dream also. You cannot dream. Now I am 80 years old and I will dream. I am 20 years old. It is not going to happen. If a person has lost a leg or a hand, we will see exactly ourselves in exactly the same manner. So there is a severe limitation. Our thought is limited by our concept of ourselves or the physical body. But in deep sleep, a person sleeps well. And Indra thought that must be the final teaching. But then again, he started cogitating, thinking deeply, and then he found out something marvelous. Then he found out that this person, it is like a dead state. I don't know. I only know I was so happy upon waking up. But at that stage, even though I am experiencing that indescribable bliss, I am unable to consciously experience it. Unconsciously, yes. Consciously, no. Then, he says, yes. He who is behind these three states and without whose presence these states are not possible, that is called the, it is not a state actually, but for the easiness of comprehension, it is called Turiyavastha, and thou art that Atman. This time, Indra understood really. And that is what we have to understand here. So, referring to the Kena Upanishad, Shrotrasya Shrotram, Manaso Manoyat, Vachoha Vacham, Savu Pranasya Pranaha, Chakshashah Chakshuhu, Atimuchya Dhiraha, Pretya Asmat Loka, Amrutaha Bhavanti. It is the ear of the ear, the mind, the tongue of the tongue, and also the life of the life, and the eye of the eye. And then, there he says, all these things will not function unless there is that chit behind. And when it joins these organs mentioned, like the ear, etc., then it becomes chidabhasa. But it is pure chit without any relationship with the sense organs. And that is what we need to understand actually. And it's a marvelous topic. We will continue in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.